In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Be seated. The reason that I normally preach from the pulpit is because it elevates the Word. We always want to show that the Word of God is supreme. And so we liturgically, architecturally, we preach from the pulpit, except when we don't, because there is a pastoral reason to bring the Word to the people. And so I just feel like this is one of those times, and after the week that we've had, that it is time to show the nearness of God. And so just liturgically, architecturally, want to preach from right here. And particularly as we think about the parting of the Red Sea, this aisle just has a great picture of you walls of water on either side, which I was funny in my head. This is a sermon about the nearness of God and about the character of God as one who delivers his people. We've had quite a week, and really quite a couple of weeks. It started with images from Hurricane Harvey coming out of Houston particularly, but all of our area around Texas. Just overwhelming, hard to get our head and our heart around. But then here comes a huge storm. Is it going to go to the east of us or the west of us? And just this sort of panic and those images just sending us into even more anxiety than normal, I think. I myself have felt, I don't know about you, but I've felt overwhelmed with being overwhelmed. I before the storm, just anxiety at the coming storm, overwhelmed with the amount of information. I mean, I felt like I needed to watch the Weather Channel and News 4 Jax and Action News Jax and somebody else named Jack. And I just, it was, everybody was talking about it, and I couldn't take my eyes off of it, and it did not, having more information did not help to lower my anxiety about what was coming. I was overwhelmed with, do I have enough for this apocalyptic event that is coming? I normally survive on about a half gallon of water a day, but if I don't have 6 gallons of Aquafina for every member of my household, then this for each day of the week, I don't know what I'm going to do. Overwhelmed with questions coming in, overwhelmed with the number of decisions that had to be made based on facts that kept shifting. You know, we're going to send my family away. We're going to send them to Greenville because the storm is going to be east. No, now the eye is going to go right through Greenville, so maybe we'll go to Atlanta. No, it's going to go to Atlanta, so maybe we'll just go to Birmingham. Oh, no, we can't. So we're just going to stay, you know. And so it's over and over. And are we going to have services? Are we going to have programs? Are we going to have? And we just didn't know, and we needed to make decisions, and we did the best we could. But I felt a little overwhelmed. Then overwhelmed with the just the storm itself, and particularly the scary bands that came through in the middle of the night. Although I will say I did sleep through most of it. And Amy's got the kids' word sermon, so she's not in here. And I can tell you that I was pretty terrible to her. She woke me up in the middle of the night, and she said, "I think I hear cracking outside." And I said, "It's just creaks. Go back. It's just creaking. Just go back to sleep." As if the spirit of Jim Cantore was speaking into my speaking into my dreams, and I had all the authority. More decisions that coming after the storm, and more images from our area, from the Keys, from the islands, just overwhelming, I think, and no school for what was at least 6 weeks, I'm sure. Overwhelmed with also, on the other hand, overwhelmed with gratitude. You know, just gratitude for all the many blessings I heard. I mean, I don't know about each of your stories, but I've heard lots of stories that, you know, the water almost came to our house but didn't get in our house. Over and over again, I heard that. This tree fell right next to the house but not on the house. Or right, you know, and not everybody. I mean, we'll get there. But lots of just gratitude for events, gratitude for friends, gratitude for kindness. We had our cleanup day, and two of my friends from Birmingham just showed up here. They just got in the car, heard we were having a cleanup day, and showed up here on the grounds. That was pretty great. And I know that I've been bad. I've sort of poo-pooed Facebook a little bit from the pulpit a few times. I was so grateful for Facebook because it was such a great communication tool to know that so many of you were safe. And one of the things so just a lot of being overwhelmed. But at least a couple people on Facebook posted, with all these storms, is God trying to tell us something? And that's a really reasonable question and a normal question to come up. Is God trying to tell us something? I will tell you what this is not. And this is not God's judgment. In the sense of, it's not his wrath, an angry God getting you back for, or getting our state back, or getting our country back for misdeeds. And the reason I know that is because all of God's judgment has been poured out on himself on the cross. And so we can know that if God's trying to tell us something, it's not that he's getting angry with us. The judgment has already been poured out on the cross. But what we also know is that he could have kept these storms away, and so they've come at his hand. Is he trying to tell us something? As I've pondered that, I think, at least more helpful for me is to think, I think that God is trying to ask us something. He's trying to ask us something, and that is, who do you trust? In whom or in what do you put your trust? Because when you face a storm like this, you face a power of nature like this, there's nothing that a polished resume is going to do to help you, right? There is nothing that a house in the right neighborhood is going to do to help you, because we know that this storm was no respecter of neighborhoods. Everybody took it down. Nothing that your own wits are going to do in the face of power like this. So we are faced with the question, given that there is nothing that we can do, who do you trust? We heard today just the quintessential Old Testament story of deliverance. The parting of the Red Sea. The Israelites were literally between a rock and a hard place. In all of Scripture, this is the number two story of God's deliverance. And the lectionary assigned it for this Sunday. I didn't pick it. It almost preaches itself, and perhaps, you know, the Jags are playing later. You wish it would, but here I am. So if you remember the story, the Israelites had after 10 plagues, the boils and the gnats and the frogs and the river of blood and ultimately the death of the firstborn and the Passover, Pharaoh said, "Get out of my country," in the midst of all the rubble, and God led the people out of the land of Egypt, and they come up and they see this beautiful scene. They've got waterfront property on the Red Sea. What a journey this has been. And in the midst of the rubble of Egypt, Pharaoh says, "What have I done letting my slaves go? And get on your chariots and let's go get them." And so they're encamped against the Red Sea. They hear the worst thing that they could possibly imagine, and that was the Egyptian army coming after them. And in the midst of it, this God had been leading them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And this pillar that had been leading them in front of them moved to behind them. And I don't know what it looked like exactly, but the Egyptians couldn't get around it. And so God planted himself between the enemies of God's people and God's people. And then Moses raised up his staff and the waters parted. But can you imagine the terror that these people were feeling? Even before our passage, if you read a few verses earlier, They said, they're screaming at Moses, were there no graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die? Why don't we just, we'll just surrender. We'll just tell him we're sorry. It's his fault. Kill him, Moses. We're going back and making you bricks. God says, absolutely not. You're my people. And so Moses lifts up his staff and the waters part. And they happily walk through on dry land, right? You imagine? No. I'm not going in there. Are you crazy? And yet that was where they had to go. And so, of course, the Israelites go through. The cloud moves. The pillar moves. The Egyptians go through. Moses pulls his staff down after he's walked through. The water comes back over the Egyptians, and the people of God are safe on the other side. It's a remarkable story. In fact, it's sort of an unsettling story. But the people of God were always known by this story. Because, remember, God always said, I am the God who brought you up out of Egypt. And that's how he referred to himself and to them. So in the face of such power, I mean, the Israelites, they were on the sea, on the banks of the sea, the shore of the sea, or the Egyptian army. I mean, it was one or the other. There was nowhere for them to look but up. Who do you trust? This is not a surprise to me, said God. This, I did not lead you here and thought, oh, I forgot. They still had chariots. See, I should have had a plague against the chariots. No, God was not surprised. Who do you trust? When your eyes can see no way out, who do you trust? The last part of the passage that Doc read says this, the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians. And listen, Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord. It was his demonstration, it was deliverance. It was not the absence of terror. It was not the absence of fear or a difficult situation. It was his deliverance through that that helped the people to fear in a godly sense, to fear the Lord and to believe in the Lord, to trust in the Lord. What this does not promise, friends, is this does not promise that God will not let the storm come, obviously, right? It doesn't say that the storm's not coming for you. What it says, I mean, your Red Sea that you may have to walk through, it may be dealing with insurance. That's your Red Sea. It may be waiting on contractors. Or your Red Sea may not have anything to do with the storm. Your Red Sea may be depression. It may be a feeling of guilt. It may be sadness over a wayward child or care that you have to give to an aging parent. But what this story promises is not that the storm won't come, but that God will see you through. God will see you through. Where do you trust? In whom do you trust? There's nowhere to look but up. And this events like this remind us that God is faithful. No matter what, God is going to make a way through. Israel didn't want to go through the Red Sea. They just assumed that they not have any of this difficulty. And yet, that's where they found themselves. And God brought them through. For you and me, this point, this quintessential number two story of deliverance points us ahead to the number one story of deliverance, and that is the cross. Because God has passed us through the ultimate Red Sea, which is sin itself. Now, this is not an opportunity to try to make you feel guilty. It's just an opportunity for us to acknowledge what we already know to be true about ourselves. That we fall short. We say things we ought not to say. We find ourselves doing things we don't want to do. We are just not always exactly the person we want to be. And certainly before God, we know we're in trouble unless he has actually crossed the Red Sea himself and brought us through. Why did he do that? Not, you people, right? And not that. It's so he could love us. It's so he could be with us. It's so he could be our great Father. We have to look upon not a pillar of cloud, but a wooden cross that is unshakable through storms of adversity. Anytime something happens to you and you have trouble believing, you can look at that cross and know that God has made the way. And that God is for you. And that he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. We have a God who is for us. A God who rose from the dead to defeat sin and to be with you always. And if a God can, we have a God that can raise himself from the dead, we have a God who can handle FEMA, right? We have a God who can handle depression. We have a God who can hold you while you're crying over whatever it is that you're crying about. We have a God who will be with you when you don't know what to do next. So friends, he is for you. And he is with you. And whatever your Red Sea is, he will see you through. That is his promise, both in the Old Testament, in the parting of the Red Sea, and in the New Testament, in the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the question for you and for me is, who do you trust? Amen. Amen.